Aren't you glad that God leads, guides, and directs? Thank you all for being here and every part of this service tonight. I appreciate God and what He's doing to us. And since Brother Ball was here, I've had something on my heart, and I wanted to share it tonight. I tried to go in a different direction, and I just felt like I came back to this. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of John and chapter number 15. All the administrative stuff I've done the last few days, I feel a little rusty, but we'll see if we can oil the machine tonight, get back in the groove of things. The book of John, chapter 15. All of us have probably heard these scriptures before, but yet when Jesus was teaching this, I believe that it was imperative that Jesus teach this to His disciples, because Jesus intended for His church to be fruitful. Now, last week, if you remember, we were over in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, and we'll talk about that just by passing back through that. But there's two things that stick back into my mind this evening as I reviewed that going forward. First of all, Galatians teaches us that we're to be led of the Spirit, or to be walk in the Spirit. Actually, it says that first, to walk in the Spirit. So we are a Spirit-led, a Spirit-driven people. We've talked about that the last several services. Not only are we to be walking in the Spirit, but we're to be led of the Spirit. But yet, when you look at John 15, we're to produce fruit. And the Bible mentions that over and over throughout this particular group of Scripture. And I want to take the time just to read that, and then I'm going to go over a little bit of other stuff before I go forward and to where I want to really get into this evening. So there in John chapter 15, verse number 1, the Bible says, "I am the true vine." That's a really important statement by Jesus. "And my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Stretch your hand this way and pray for me tonight. Father, we do thank you, God, for this time that you've given us. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that God, that your word is truth. And your word, God, there's no variableness or shadow of turning in you. That, God, that you're a constant and a consistent in our lives today. Father, I pray, God, that you would touch us in this room tonight. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to move upon us and allow your Spirit to anoint us and take us to that place, God, in you that you want us to go. Father, we love you, we honor you, and we praise you, and we thank you. And God, we give you all the glory for all that's done and all that's been done in this room tonight. And Father, we do ask you all of these things. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. As I've already said, when Brother Ball was here, I believe that God began to deal with me about this particular message that I'm going to share tonight. Now, everybody in this room is different. I know how I am, and I can only talk about me. I know when I am spiritually full. I know when I'm lacking spiritually. I know when I could draw closer to God. And I know when God is just blessing my socks off, so to speak. Figure of speech. But when I begin to look at the scripture, I believe there is an insight into this that God intended for all of us to bear fruit. Now, before I get too far into this, when I was here last week, I actually read the scripture out of the book of Galatians chapter 5. And it talked about the fruit, if I can use that word, of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not going to take the time to go back and read all of these, but again, you can look at this in Galatians chapter 5. And he says, now these are the works of the flesh in verse number 19. And he says, are manifest, and these include, which he includes the list of all these things that are a part of the flesh, whether it be adultery or fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Let me just go ahead. I'm sorry. He says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past. Now watch this. That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, breaking it down, making it real simple, you're not going to make it to heaven. Why? The biggest reason is, if you tie this back together with John chapter 15, is because you're not connected to the right source. When I thought about this today and I was going back over this, if you've got a rotten root, you're going to have rotten fruit. And Jesus, again, when Paul was teaching this to the Galatians, he came back, and the next couple of verses, if you look at that in verse number 22, and he begins to mention what are the manifestations of the Spirit. The fruit, the manifestations of the Spirit. And when you think about this in gardening terms, and I'm not much of a gardener. I like peddling with flowers and things like that. Don't have room for a garden at my house, even though I've got a big front yard. It's all slate rock, and you can't do nothing with it. Nothing hardly grows on it except weeds. I got a good stand of weeds right now. But when I think about bearing fruit, you're going to bear what you're connected to. When Paul was writing this, he admonished the church that we're to bring forth love and joy and peace. We've talked about all of those before. So in our self-assessment, we ask ourselves, simply, what are we connected to? So when you look back at our text, we can begin to see Jesus teaching this, and he begins to lay the foundation, and he says, I am the true vine. The only way, and it's reiterated over and over and over again, all the way through this text, and I'll get to it. The only way you can produce the fruit of the Spirit is by being connected to the true vine. And Jesus says that. And again, there's those that he was talking about that would be those that would be counterfeit, if you will, or those that would be hypocrites as a play actor. It's those that put on a mask, if you will, or facade, if you will, to make you think or believe that they are something that they're really not. Jesus wasn't playing. Jesus knew that, Brother Sherman, you talked about it today, that time was short and the time is nigh. He knew that when these disciples went forth, he knew that they would soon be persecuted, and he knew that they would soon face great dilemma. He knew that they would have to be the real deal. Can I tell you, and this is not in my notes nowhere, but if you and I are going to make it in the day and the hour that we're living in, if we're going to influence the people of the world today that we need to influence, and that they're really going to see the true church, we've got to be connected to the true Jesus. Somebody say amen right there. But Jesus, again, when he begins to say this, he says that he's the vine and the Father, if you will. He's the gardener. He's the one that keeps the vine, if you will. He mentions that in verse number 1. And then when I began to look at this, I looked in verse number 2, and he says, every branch in me. Now that's interesting because I circled that in my Bible. I don't know if you write in your Bible, but I wrote in mine. But he said, but every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now again, I've told you, I'm not much of a horticulturist and I'm not much of a gardener, but one of the things that I did when I was a kid, under the, under the guiding hand of my dad and my papa and the obedient child that I was, they taught me to sucker tobacco. Now, if you don't know what suckering tobacco is, see me after church and I'll explain it to you. I'm just kidding. Tomatoes is the same way. And what we used to call those things are sucker shoots. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So they would give you a little pocket knife and you'd go in and where the leaf of the tobacco would come out or a tomato, it's the same way. Right where the stalk comes up, where the leaf comes up, there'll be this thing called a sucker shoot right here. And before it gets into that leaf, all the nutrients and everything from that main stalk, it goes off into that sucker shoot. And you've got this wild looking thing stemming out over here, and your tobacco leaf or your tomato vine and whatever produces your tomatoes, all that energy and all that strength is going into that sucker shoot. So when you look at this, he says in verse number 2, he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. That don't sound good right there. He said, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. In other words, if you're saved, if you're sanctified, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, God is basically continuing to work on you and me so that we would not be drying up on the vine, if you will, but we would bring forth more fruit to His glory. I don't know about you, but I've never gotten to a ceiling, if I can use that word, of serving God and glorifying God and my experience with God always growing. What is it that keeps people today in society and the church from growing? Well, if you'll allow me for just a moment, it's been on my heart for several weeks now, and I hope that you'll endure me for just a little bit, and let me talk about a few things that Jesus talked about. I think a lot of times, even in preaching services, how that the word goes forth, if we're going to bring forth fruit, and if we're going to be a fruitful church, if we're going to be a fruitful Christian, if you will, Jesus always challenged their heart. He always challenged that. And Jesus, again, he told them in these parables that he taught, and again, this is very lengthy as I go through this in some ways, but Jesus taught them in parables. A parable was a story, if you will. A parable was what would be told in Jesus' way, and according to commentary, it was a parable that was of the Spirit, that the average person, if you will, would not understand the parable, but those that were of the Spirit, that they would know exactly what Jesus was talking about. Because when we see this in the Word, in Matthew chapter 13, we see this. Now, I know that this is scripture that you know. I realize that. But he said, now the same day went Jesus, verse 1, out of the house, and he sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into the ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So you kind of get the picture there, and I'll let you kindly figure that out there on that part. But as Jesus was there, the Bible says he spake many things unto them in parables, verse 3. And saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, which had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, and they withered away. Verse 7 says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. Verse 8 says, and others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And he says in verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In verse 18, we skip way over to 18, and then Jesus actually goes there, and he begins to interpret what he had just said in the parable. And all of us in this room, no doubt in my mind, all of us at some point in our life, we've experienced one of these four elements of our life. First of all, we see where Jesus was saying that in verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So the first thing that he talks about, and Jesus describes this, and anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. And he says that this is he which received the word by the wayside. In other words, there's other ways of interpreting that. And it's one who would hear the word, the enemy would come and whisper in their ear, oh, that's not for you, that's for somebody else. And you take that word that was really intended for you and you cast that word away. So therefore, you at that time, you do not become a productive fruit bearer as God wanted you to bear fruit. And we look at this, and again, the interpretation of that, Jesus says in verse number 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and on with joy received it. Oh, they received the word with joy. They were excited about the word, but yet it was there in that stony place. The earth in this area was said in commentary to be crusty. Didn't have very much soil on it. And as the seed was sown, it would take root in that shallow layer of dirt, but yet when the rubber met the road, and when the going got rough, if you will, when life got a little bit more harder because it did not get down into the depth of the soil, if you will, and it ran into that hard place, that hard heart, if you will, that stony heart, if you will, That hard, crusty layer of the human heart. Y'all may not have one like that, but yet in the same regard, I think that I too have had those times in my life when it was hard, I was more hard-hearted, and God had to deal with me a little bit longer and a little bit harder. Y'all probably never had to be dealt with like that. But yet in the same regard, I thank God for His mercy. I thank God for His grace. I thank God that He knows how to be patient with us, and God knows how to deal with our hearts. But He says this in the scripture, and He says that you receive it with joy, but yet it did not get no depth. Verse number 21 explains that. And He says, and yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. And when tribulation and persecution ariseth, because the word, by and by, he is offended. Again, if I had time to talk about this, the devil's going to do anything and everything that he possibly can to get you to the point that you are offended, get you to the point that you will give up on God, anything that would keep the word of God from getting down deep into your heart. The whole point that Jesus was trying to get to is that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God wanted that word to get deep on the inside of you and not just lay around on the surface. I believe that's where we have had much trouble in the church. I believe that's why we have empty pews on a Sunday night. If you're listening to me, it's because people allow the word to get so only so far in their life, and then they refuse to be obedient and adhere to the word of God, and then they choose not to participate in the things of God because they have a very shallow walk with God. Man, I want all of God I can get. I don't know about you, but as long as I've been doing what I'm doing, I still have not received everything that I want from God and everything that I believe that God has for me. And the next one is where we look at this in the scripture. He says in 22, and he says, but also he received seed among thorns. Is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the care of this world, wow, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, the care of this world, the cares of the world, wow. And then he says, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And he, the latter part of verse 22, and he becomes unfruitful. One place he says he becomes unfocused. He becomes unfocused, and we can see that even Jesus, again, went even further, and he talked about that, and I'll talk about it in just a minute. But Jesus, again, talked about it, but he's telling us in verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground, somebody shout, good ground. Good ground. Good ground. Good ground is a ground that is pliable. One that is not filled with thorns. One that is not filled with stony ground. One that's not a wayside hearer. But one that is like a little sponge, you know, and saying, God, here am I, send me. So he says again, what kind of heart are you? What kind of heart? You're going to produce fruit based upon the element of your own heart, your spiritual heart, if you will. Amen? And we see that Jesus again looked at this. He said, but he that receiveth seed in the good ground, he is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, but also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. According to every man's ability, God has delivered his word unto us. I've told you this before, and I'll tell it to you again tonight, that when Sherry's Papa Hezzy got saved, we were at the Mountain View Church of God, and we'd had service, and Hezzy was there. Hezzy was sitting just right behind where our back pew ends. There was some chairs right in the very back there. And I told my girlfriend at the time, I said, I need to go talk to Hezzy, your papa. And I went back, and I very gently talked. Hezzy was an elderly man even when I first met him. And I went back, and I talked to Hezzy, and I said, hey, Hezzy, I said, the Lord loves you. Do you want to give your heart to God? And he said, yes. In his elder age, probably in his 80 or close to 80 or more year old, even then, if you're that age tonight, I'm not calling you elderly, but I am saying you're older than me. I respect my elders. And I went back to Hezzy and I said, Hezzy, do you want to get saved and give your heart to the Lord? And he said, yeah. And I led him to the front, to the altar. And I told Sherry, I said, he may not understand everything there is to know about the Bible, but he understood enough to come and give his heart to God. Where much is given, much will be required. When Jesus taught these parables, Jesus was talking to those disciples because he had one thing in mind when they did this. The Bible says, when you begin to look at this, in verse number 3 of our text, he says, in verse 3, he said that they were to bear fruit. He purgeth it. He clips off the bad parts. He sanctifies us really, really good. Me and Bob Sparks was talking about that yesterday. There is a lacking element in the church today in some places. And it's good. It's a good old-fashioned dose of sanctification. Sanctification will keep you from things that you ought not be a part of. And it'll dedicate you to things that you need to be a part of. Is sanctification instantaneous or is sanctification progressive? I believe sanctification can be both. Because I know when God sanctified me and he took a can of Skoal out of my back pocket and a pouch of Levi Garrett out of my front pocket, and God told me to do certain things, and I wrestled and I fought and I'd sling tobacco down over the bank and I'd stomp and snort and holler and cry and everything else. I had fits and all kinds of things. But finally on that Wednesday night at the Mountain View Church of God, I came on this side of the altar and I said, God, it's yours. I can't do it no more. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, and you can say what you want to, there is a thing called a surrender to God. And there is a time when you resign your life to God and God will clean you up and God will sanctify you, and you'll quit holding on to the vices of this world. Hello now, somebody. He purgeth it. Verse 3 says, if you look at that, in John chapter 15, he says this again in the Word. When you read that, he says, now you are clean. Somebody will shout amen right there. Through the Word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The word of God is a very present help in time of trouble. Heaven and earth will pass away, but thy word will never pass away. The word of God will always be our guidance. It'll always be our compass, if you will. And he says this in the Word, if we will adhere to the Word of God, if we'll hold to the Word of God, which I have spoken unto you. Now, verses 4 through 11, and I'm going to go really, really fast through these, and if I can anyway. And he says this in the Scripture, and he uses the word, abide in me. If you'll look in this text, there was an emphasis placed. Oh, I didn't count how many times it was. Maybe 8 times. I didn't count it, but maybe 8 times he uses this word, abide in me. Abide, 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 abide. And the emphasis that he was saying there is that you've got to stay connected to the vine. You've got to stay connected to him. And if there's anything that I understand in the age that I am now doing what I've done, as long as I've done it, Brother Hawks, it is a sobering understanding in my life today that I cannot do this on my own. I have got to stay connected to him. We've got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to be led of the Spirit. We've got to be full of the Spirit. And if there's anything that we need today is a good old-fashioned dose of the Holy Ghost, if you will, that'll help the church to abide in him, that we stay connected to him and not let the word fall by the wayside or on the stony ground, the thorny ground. But let the word of God go forth into our hearts. Let the word of God change us, that we can go out and change a lost and a dying world. Amen. And he says this again in this text. Abide in me and I in you. That is a beautiful, harmonic relationship. That's beautiful. Abide in me and I in you. Walk hand in hand. Look at your neighbor and say, just stay connected. That's what it's all about. Because the word abide, when you look this up, it is a word that actually means to continue therein. It is a word that means to tarry with, if you will. More in simplicity, it just means to stay connected to. Now let's not act all spiritual, okay? Let's get real tonight. Let's get really real at Thomasville tonight. Don't look at your neighbor, look straight ahead. Are you as close to God tonight as you know you could be? Don't look around, don't look at your neighbor. Just look straight ahead. And the problem is, we think that God has left us. Oh yeah, there's valleys. There's times that we go through storms. Jesus, even the disciples, they went through storms. They were on the sea, remember? Jesus was right there in the boat. Sleep on a pillow. Here he was rocking and rolling with the waves. These disciples upstairs or wherever Jesus was at in the boat, just in the back of the boat probably. He was riding the waves. These cats got all messed up. They were saying, man, we're going to die, and we're going to die fast. We got to do something. Call on Jesus. And they woke Jesus up and said, Master, careth not that we perish? Jesus looked back at him and said, oh, ye little faith. And then he just said, peace be still. And there was a great calm. That might be you tonight. It might be you where you're at. Now, I'm not going to put on no monkey face and think that, you know, a facade. But we've all been through things. We've all been through things and we've asked ourselves, God, where in the world are you at? And it is not God's will for any to perish, the Bible says. Not God's will that any would perish, all come to repentance. But God cares. This is me. This may not be a Bible verse. But God cares more about you than often you care about yourself. Amen? Because he was willing to die for you. He was willing to give of his life, his son's life, for you and for me. So when we look at this scripture, again, he reminds them in the verse number 4, abide in me and I in you. The next thing he begins to say in the middle part of verse number 4, and this is very important because this word abide, again, it means in layman's lingo, if you will, hang in there. That's just layman's lingo. You ever heard that before? You've heard it now. This word again means abide with, or it means to dwell and endure or remain. We gotta hang in there with God. Let me throw one monkey wrench in this thing tonight that maybe not be directly connected to this particular verse of scripture. And I know that it's really hard to get young people in church today, but Brother Chris, this is one I thought about when I thought about this service. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 33. And I'll let Kathy put it on the board because I feel like it's very imperative because Jesus said, abide in me and I'll abide in you. You can't bear fruit of yourself. It's in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Because this verse is a verse that I believe is very imperative to our young people today. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Let me put that again in layman's lingo, if you will. Hanging around with bad company is going to produce bad fruit. Years ago, Chris, you'll remember this. It was said, I don't know who it was said by. Maybe it was at youth camp. Maybe it was not here at Thomasville. It was at youth camp. And you might remember it, but I don't remember exactly who said it. It was talking to the teenagers at a youth camp. I'm pretty sure it was at youth camp. I don't remember which speaker, but it said, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You show me your friends, you might want to write that down. I'll show you your future. Because bad company corrupts good fruit. It'll corrupt you. Now let me meddle and move and close. I don't know which order that's going to come in. I thank God that y'all love me and that you're patient with me. This is what he says. He says in this verse, let me just run right through this really fast because I know it's getting late. Abide in me and I in you. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. You're the branches. He reemphasizes that. And he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So that's the second thing. He said fruit. And then he talked about here in verse number 2 to bear more fruit. Again, he keeps purging, he keeps clipping, he keeps cutting away. And now you're bringing forth much fruit. Well, what is the fruit? We've already talked about that. Jesus even said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love one to another. Verse number 6. This is really where it really gets rough, and I'm not going to take the time to really spend a lot of time there. But he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Rubbish. He's cast forth as rubbish. And he said, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Nobody wants that to happen. Again, Jesus comes right back out of that, even though, Brother Sherman, you mentioned it this morning about the judgment. And the world at large don't understand that there will be a judgment day. Oh, preacher, you're just trying to scare people, and you don't need to say stuff like that. And you know, I have no desire to scare anybody, but I do have a desire to tell you the truth, what Jesus was trying to emphasize in the scripture. Let me read the rest of this really fast. He comes back in verse number 7, and again he reiterates the wording, abide in me. And again, he talked about that in several different ways, but he brought it to a conclusion. And that is what he was trying to say. He brought this thing to a conclusion that is very important that you abide in him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Does that mean, I'm sorry to have to say it this way. It's the only way I know how to say it. Like name it and claim it. Blab it. Who said that? Blab it and grab it. Somebody said that. No, that's not what he talks about. Because he says, if you look at that verse, if you're abiding in him and me and you, you're going to ask what you will. Here's the thing. If you're abiding in him and him in you, you're not going to ask for anything sinful. You're not going to ask for anything that's derogatory. You're not going to ask for anything that's contrary to the word of God. I've not read it in a while, but I read in the book of Matthew because he knows how to even take care of the lilies of the field. He even knows how to take care of the sparrow. He even knows how to the fact that there's your hairs or the number of hairs upon your head, they're numbered. God knows that. But yet he comes back and he reminds these disciples that if you ask according to my will, I'm going to grant it unto you. Because you're walking in my will and you're abiding with me. Let me read these next couple of verses really fast. And he says in verse 9, I think it is verse 8, he says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. There's the evidence of fruitful living in that verse. That you're a fruit-bearing person. And as a fruit-bearing person, you are identified as God's child, God's disciple. Verse number 9 there again. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. He tells them again, continue in my love. Verses 10 and 11. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Again, see the repetition? He's reiterating that over and over. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, verse number 11. And then I'm going to read verse 16. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, God's joy, might remain in you. Serving God is not drudgery. Well, I got to go to church. It's time I got to go. You don't got to go to church. God's given us the awesome and great privilege to come and join together in his precious name. And fellowship with the brethren and the sistren, if you will, and to be together as the family of God. I have the opportunity to come to God's house. Hello, somebody. But he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that your joy might remain, that my joy might remain in you. His joy in you. The joy of the Lord is what? My strength. And that your joy might be, what does he say? Full. Overwhelming, exuberance, excitement. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Hello. I remember in the Church of God, and I'm not a fan of wildfire. I'm not a fan of wildfire. I'm not a fan of fads and things that people do just because they want to do it. But I am a fan of a good Holy Ghost outpouring. I am a fan of a good move of the Holy Ghost. Let me just admonish you for a minute. I am not afraid of the church saying amen. You can do more than just stare. Come on now. I remember when we were in the church, a preacher would almost get shouted down when he would preach. But now it's almost, you got to have a pocket full of $100 bills to buy a shout every now and then, you know? It's truth. I don't have to go to church. I'm not made to go to church. I don't got to go to church. I have the awesome privilege of coming to God's house. We're fruitful people. What are you producing tonight? What am I producing? If it didn't help you, it helped me to check my life. God knows me. I'm a pretty good guy. Most of the time, I share it. Never mind, don't. But there are times in my life that Brother Sherman, even as a pastor, there are times in my life I have to step back, think it through, evaluate it, zip my lip, and breathe. Lest I be an embarrassment to myself and an embarrassment to God. I'm just telling you the truth. Y'all ain't like that. I'm talking about me. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'll have to work out mine. Verse 16 goes on and says this. Go ahead and stand with me. I'm done. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Wow. This wasn't your idea. It was God's idea. And God says, I chose you. And then he said, and I have ordained you. Talking to those disciples and to us. He said that you should go forth, and go and bring forth fruit. And he says this in the word, to bring forth fruit. Now watch this. And that your fruit should remain. That to me is just like a steady climb. You know, it's not like, excuse me for the way I'm going to say this, because I don't know any other way to say it. It's not hot one day and cold the next. It's not loving Jesus one day and you can't stand him the next, you know. It's a constant love for him. I like your shirt. It's got a big heart on it. I like that. But it's a constant love for God. It's a constant love for Jesus. And he says that I've ordained you that you should go, Brother Sherman, go. I love you, but go and bring forth fruit. Go be fruitful. And that your fruit should remain. Do you know that you're probably the only Bible that somebody or someone will ever read? That's right. I know that there are those that pick Christians apart. I know that. They love to do it. I think they get out of bed this morning, of the morning, to see if they can pick a Christian apart. But if they just find good fruit, that's all they can do is find good fruit. And I just say that, God, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, that he may give it to you. That is a prayer again, or a thing that Jesus was saying, reiterating, that you're connected to the vine. The vine's going to produce what it's connected to. But you're not going to ask. James, I had it written down. Don't have time to go there, but James, I said a lot of times James says it, and this is a paraphrase of what James is saying. You don't get your prayer asked because you ask and you ask amiss. And he says that you do that because of your own lust, because of your own flesh, because of your own desires. What would it be if we switched that around and we started saying, God, not my will. Lord, let me be fruitful as your person. Let me be fruitful in the church today according to you and to your plan. I wonder in this room how many want to be fruitful. I believe 100%. I've preached long enough here, and I've loved you long enough, and you've loved me long enough. We know that, but yet we get a little bit off track every now and then. We gotta get back on track. Hey, go out tonight, find you somebody to be fruitful with. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight, and I do thank you, God, for this time. I thank you, Heavenly Father, God, for the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we gather together in your precious name, that God, that the message of the hour, Lord, it's struck a chord in my heart. God, that we be fruitful people. That God, that we be the people that you've called us to be. Help us, Heavenly Father, God, to go out of this room and go out into a lost, into a dying world. That God, that we would be the salt of the earth. That God, that we would be light in the darkness. And God, let thy word, oh God, be planted in our heart. That God, that we would bring forth fruit and more fruit. Much fruit, God, and that our fruit would remain. And God, I pray your blessings, oh God, upon this congregation. Lord, we ask you to touch Brother Sherman and Lori, God, as they go to Sophia, Lord. I pray, oh God, your blessings upon them. That God, that they would go and fulfill the Great Commission. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Shake somebody's hand. Love them somebody.